Well, we've come this morning to celebrate the Lord's table. We've titled our message, Celebrating God's Forgiveness. Not long ago, I was speaking with one of our elders about the various ways that various churches celebrate the Lord's table and, you know, different ways of serving the elements, different ways of bringing in music, different ways of doing the same thing, basically, is remembering what Jesus did for us when he died on the cross. And I've been thinking about that, particularly in regards to this word celebrating. I looked up celebrate on my computer concordance, and I found two words that similar but different. One was rejoice, and one was commemorate. Rejoice, commemorate. Rejoice meant have fun, have a good time, party, enjoy yourself, make merry. I mean, what does a computer concordance know anyway? That's a kind of a limited perspective on rejoice. Commemorate meant observe, mark, keep, remember, honor. And the more I thought about that, the more I believe that both of those words are and should be involved when we celebrate the Lord's table. It should be a joyous time. But at the same time, it should be a time of honor. It should be a time of remembrance, a time of marking what Jesus did for us. So, this should be a pleasant, fun thing. Not necessarily in the way that we always use the word fun, but it should be a joy, a rejoicing. And if not, why not? No, we celebrate the Lord's table because we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ because our sins are forgiven. And, you know, sometimes that will make us want to jump for joy. And sometimes that will bring us to a place where we just want to be still and we just want to remember what he did for us and we just want to, it's just a quiet thing. Forgiveness. Where would we be without it? I've shared these couple of illustrations before at various times. Some of you will remember one of Hollis's old-timers from the past, a man named Stubby Gary. He used to have a saying that says, if you tell a lie, you get a black spot on your tongue. I don't think anybody ever believed that, but some people found themselves checking, I'm sure. And then there's the story of Pinocchio. You know, every time Pinocchio told a lie, his nose grew longer and longer and longer. And it's just a story. It's just a picture. And the other illustration that I've used before is about the backpack. Forgiveness, where would we be without it? What would it be like if every time we sinned, we all wore a backpack, and every time we sinned, a marble went in the backpack, never to be removed? After some period of time, the backpack would be full, and the marbles would keep coming, and we'd be weighed down, and we'd be falling down, and we'd be buried in marbles without forgiveness. What if our ability to speak was permanently reduced by 1% each time we used unwholesome speech? What if our ability to communicate was permanently impacted every time we communicated in a sinful way? What if our ability to see was permanently reduced every time we looked at something that was unfit for a Christian to look at? What if we permanently gained 1 pound every time we ate more than what we needed? What if our ability to be close with our spouse was permanently diminished each time we had impure thoughts about someone else? What if? What would it be like without forgiveness? I'm thinking we take forgiveness for granted too much, too often. We take advantage of it. What would it be like without the ability to make things right? Without the ability to make things right before God, and without the ability to make things right between one another? Wouldn't life be wretched and dismal and depressing without forgiveness? I hope that you're none of these things this morning. But if perhaps you are, there may be some area of your life that you need to offer or receive forgiveness. We cannot live as the people that God wants us to live as without receiving and giving forgiveness. To help us focus our thoughts on what the Bible says about forgiveness for a few minutes, I'd like for us to examine these four questions. What is forgiveness? If we just think about that for a second, you know, what is forgiveness? If you had to write out an answer to that right this minute, there's a pretty good chance you'd write out something that forgiveness does, or that forgiveness sounds like or looks like. But you might not answer the question, what is forgiveness? Then a second question, how do we get forgiveness? Then who gets forgiveness from us? And lastly, how do we give forgiveness to others? So let's look at these four questions. First of all, what is forgiveness? It's pretty important in the Bible because it's referred to some 143 times. So let's begin with a working definition. Forgiveness is a promise releasing the sinning person from the penalty of sin when requested. So first of all, forgiveness is a promise. If we think about what God says about forgiveness, back in Jeremiah, a rather familiar passage, if you care to turn there with me, we'll look at this. Jeremiah chapter 31, and we'll begin in verse 31. Jeremiah 31, 31. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel at that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. The writer of Hebrews repeats this concept in Hebrews chapter 10. Read you a couple of verses here. In Hebrews chapter 10, beginning of verse 15, it says, the Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, this is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Forgiveness is a promise. Forgiveness is a promise, first of all, from God, saying, I will remember their sins no more. I will call to my mind their sins no more. And when every man and woman, boy and girl, who has received Jesus Christ as their Savior, completed that transaction in their heart between them and God, their sins were all forgiven, past, present, and future. God will never bring those sins up to you again. You'll never have to pay the penalty for those sins, because if we had to pay the penalty for just one of those sins, we'd be toast, we'd be hopeless, we'd be helpless. But because of his forgiveness, we don't have to. So what is forgiveness? It's a promise releasing a sinning person from the penalty of that sin when requested. How do we get it? How do we receive forgiveness? How do we get this forgiveness? Micah 7:18 says, who is a God like you? Who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. Forgiveness comes from God. Who is a God like you? One of the most wonderful rhetorical questions that there is. Who is like God in forgiving? If God hadn't touched our hearts, we wouldn't be forgiving people. Isaiah 43:25 says, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Where do we get it? How do we get it? It's from God. Forgiveness is from God. Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. You see, that's what we need because of our sin. We need to be pardoned so we don't have to pay the penalty. If you're not pardoned, you will pay the penalty. And then in the New Testament, a very familiar verse, Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate, forgiving one another, just as in Christ God forgave you. That's why a Christian can never withhold forgiveness from another by saying you don't deserve it. Well, neither did you, neither did I. But God forgave us in Christ, and he expects us to be forgiving people because of it. The psalmist wrote, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. I'm reminded of John chapter 6 when the going was getting tough there towards the end of John chapter 6. Jesus looked at the disciples and everyone else was leaving, and he said, would you go away as well? And Peter says, to whom else would we go? God is the one who forgives all of our sin and heals all of our diseases. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, you say, Pastor, how does this work? How does this work? I'm convinced that we don't practice forgiveness. We don't practice it among husbands and wives. We don't practice it among brothers and sisters in Christ. We don't practice it at home, probably anywhere near as much as we should. I have to say probably, because I don't live at your house.